Hello and welcome to Grumpy Old Teachers. What up? John Samuelson. I'm in Portland, Oregon, home of the almost 3-0 Trailblazers, but they're 2-1.
Emerald City.
The Emerald City, as we like to call it, but only Scott likes to call it that. It's really the Rose City, Scott Bedley.
Oh, that's right.
Right. Emerald City is Seattle.
Doggone it.
We have to have a fake rivalry with Seattle, too, even though we really secretly like to go up to Seattle and visit. I am in Portland, Oregon, the Emerald Rose City, and my counterpart in Grump is down in the SoCal, and his name is? His fake name. He always says a fake name first.
Jason Salazar.
Oh, Jason Salazar. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You went a little cue on us right there.
Yeah. Member engagement.
Member engagement.
Hey, John. Well, you know what? I'm going to just quote Lorenzo Ball's dad. And Lonzo? Just say, Lonzo.
Say,
John, edit there.
Well, I was just clarifying. Lorenzo Ball's dad's Lonzo. Lonzo Ball.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what did Lonzo say? We don't need to edit that.
After the first game.
Yeah.
And the Lakers were horrible.
Right.
And Lorenzo Ball was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, we're doing as good as the world champion Golden State Warriors. We're both 0-1.
Right.
John, I'm 0-1 already in this broadcast.
You're already 0-1? No, that was good. You know what? When you can start out quoting Lonzo Ball, this will be a very topical Grumpy Old Teachers. I'm not sure how grumpy I am, Scott. We'll have to see. I don't know. I'm kind of grumpy. I have – you know what? We've been doing – by the way, that was Scott Bedley.
Oh, yes.
Former California Teacher of the Year. But now just a regular teacher doing nothing special. Or else he'd win it every year, right?
John, I built a website today. You'd be proud of me.
Oh, did you? What'd you use? What platform?
Weebly.
Nice. So here's a Weebly story for you. And maybe we can get Weebly as a sponsor for the Grumpy Old Teacher podcast. So we're trying to buy the campus edition of Weebly.
Okay.
And apparently we called and said, we've got a check. We're going to write a check. We want to buy the campus edition.
Mm.
They had to keep escalating, hold. They don't know how to take money at Weebly for campus edition. So that could be a problem. I just have a pro account. They can take money for that. But apparently once you want the campus edition, there's nobody there that can sell it to you. That's a problem with your company.
Now, is there such thing as a campus edition?
There is. I looked it up. And if you register for a free account for 30 days, someone's supposed to get back to you. Oh. But we don't know who that is. And we've been waiting a week trying to pay for it. Beaverton School District would like to pay for Weebly. Campus edition.
I think there's a lot of people looking for sales positions out there, Weebly.
Yeah. I don't know. Jason Salazar, do you have some time on the side? Maybe you can help out Weebly.
John, so like this is kind of a timely website.
Okay.
That I made. So, you know, I like the whole mystery Skype thing. That's like a thing for me. So I made a site called Trick or Treat Mystery Skype. So you can go there.
Ooh.
I've gotten real high tech. I've embedded a wheel to side with all kinds of fun things you can do with your kids in between like questions when you're like challenging this other class in this great game of Mystery Skype.
Wow.
So like, for example, you know, like lose a turn. So there's like trick or treats on this wheel decide, right? Which is, you know, a tool that's been around for decades, I'm sure. But
since Tim Bedley was a teenager.
Yeah, it's trick or treat mystery skype.weebly.com. Go there and check it out, everybody.
Oh. You didn't buy a domain?
You know how much money I spent on domains in the last year?
I know. That's why I was asking. I'm like, you didn't buy one.
No, they asked me if I wanted to buy a Weebly, but no thanks.
Okay, good for you. You're putting your foot down and not paying the $11.
I just don't have enough money to pay another $11.
So that website will be good for 1 month. Yeah. You're gonna try and use it after?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I'm working on like a week-to-week, day-to-day kind of calendar.
I've got another one for you. Gobble, gobble, Mystery Skype. Will be next month. You can just keep changing it.
That's right.
Oh, man. So anyway. All right, Scott Bedley, I'm going to fire out the first little topic at you for grumping at.
Grumpy. And, old.
Yeah, tosas. Grumpy. Old tosas. Boy, you know what? I did a couple the State Librarians Conference last weekend. I'm telling you, teachers out at Starbucks all the time for TOSA. It still kills. It's slaying it. I hear variations of it now. My man G Bundy is trying to like rip off a different version of it and kind of make it his own too. I don't think it's as funny as mine.
Who originally came up with that? Was that a Tim Lauerism?
I don't know. Right. That's been passed down. We'll give it to Tim Lauer. I would give credit to Tim Lauer.
Okay.
We didn't even know what a TOSA was in Texas, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a West Coast thing.
West Coast?
Dun, 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 West Coast. So anyway, I totally forgot what I was saying, but I want to just say the teachers out at Starbucks all the time, TOSA job thing. It kills.
Well, you were presenting at that conference, right, John?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, my point was the joke killed. Somebody thought I was funny. So, no, we were out there. It was a good time. I like doing this is one, Scott. Maybe we can start off this way, and then we can go into your story. But I used to love presenting. You know, I used to love presenting at conferences.
Yes, you did.
I don't really love presenting anymore. I don't love it. I don't even really enjoy it that much.
Okay.
But I do enjoy sharing knowledge, right? I do enjoy sharing knowledge.
It sounds to me like you don't like presenting at conferences anymore. Would you like to tell us more? I'm doing reflective listening, by the way, John.
I just used to like it so much. It was a lot of fun, and I used to love sharing stuff. And now, I don't know. I like doing the library. You know what I liked about the librarians one? On the Friday, we went in and I showed off little bits, and we all had some hands-on.
Wait, you did what?
Time. I showed off the little bits coding kit. Then is that better for you, Scott?
Yes.
Your mind, so your mind doesn't go to other places.
Well, I'm almost asleep here. I'm really tired.
But it was cool. We brought out like Sphere. We brought out all like the hands-on robotics tools and stuff like that we have, and everybody could kind of go around and browse, and then we called stop, and then you would just go to where you wanted to really learn, go more in depth. And we just went in depth with a few more librarians. That was fun. I liked that.
When you called stop, John, I'm sorry to interrupt you. When you called stop, did you say collaborate and listen after that? Thank you very much. I'm going to give credit to that.
And we're out of here. Yeah,
can you give credit to that one? No. I was going to give credit to our favorite principal from Wisconsin.
He is a handsome devil. By the way, I do have a George Carl story if we have time in this one. So anyway, yeah, that was fun. When I came back the next day, I tried to do book trailers, okay? Because I figured it's a librarians conference.
Sure.
Why they picked my little submission, I don't know. So anyway, so I go, okay, you know what? We're just going to go hands-on with Adobe Spark Video. I love Adobe Spark Video.
Big fan of it.
So I say, as they're coming in, I say, if you're not willing to participate in this one and you just want to sit, and you should move along, you know? I do. I say, I'm like, we're going to be using our devices.
Together, John, like, if you just want to sit and listen, wrong session, sorry.
Right. So I told them I didn't want to waste their time, right? So I'm just like, but it's so funny. How, all right, so this district librarians from around the state of Oregon, it's so funny how if one thing doesn't go right, they don't hesitate to interrupt you while you're talking. And I'm like, hold on one second, I'm going to get you started and then get everybody else started. And if you're having some problems, I'll come around. But let's finish this row. But no, they just kept interrupting me, and they're like, "This isn't work." And and sometimes you're in a new place, you can't tell if the Wi-Fi is blocked or whatever, or their devices got filters on. I don't know, because they're all over the place, right? So anyway, long story short, I just had to stop them twice and go, okay, this is what I tell students if they're interrupting me like you guys are. I'm like, just stop for a second, help the person next to you, and don't be afraid to press buttons and make a mistake, and I'll come around and fix it with you eventually, you know?
Right, because you can't make it worse than it probably is.
Oh, my gosh, right? But it was just like, oh, my goodness. So I think, like, half of them worked and started using it. I mean, once you use it, that people can see Adobe Spark video. Oh, yeah, I could easily have a kid make a trailer in 20 minutes if I had them in the library.
Right.
But it was just frustrating for me, and I felt like they were mad at me because I kind of scolded them twice. I don't know if I'm even going to get feedback from it, but I just keep thinking.
Well, John, listen, librarians are used to scolding others.
They're not, though. They're not. You know, I usually enjoy the librarian conference and enjoy the day, but I felt like the second day, I felt like maybe they weren't as happy with me as they could have been. But I did warn them, fair game. I said, you're going to have to actually create something. So that's my story. I don't know if I really like presenting anymore. And darn, Nicole Carter keeps trying to like put my name on sessions and stuff. I don't mind helping, talking, and then I can help fix stuff in the background. That's fine. I'm good with that. But I don't want the presenting stuff anymore. I felt like our Q1 was pretty good. Our last Q1, we could have redeemed ourselves from our horrible one where we did get our results and they were terrible. So we're just trying something different, right? I mean, it's hard when your people are used to just sitting at a conference and listening to a lecture, and I just don't like to sit and lecture to people anymore, and I don't think anybody should anyway.
Right. Yeah, and you know,
am I too idealistic? I don't
know. No, that's the way it goes. When you listen, John, and the audience that probably listened to us, Tim Bedley, he's trying new stuff all the time, right? So he gets it. Like you get beat up a little bit when you're trying new things. And I'm certainly learning even that. I mean, I was always learning that, but I'm learning it a lot this year too, being at a new school and bringing all those crazy things that people had like slowly accepted over time, being at one school for a little while. Now I'm at a new school where they don't know me. And, you know, all of us are trying to do kind of these crazy things, and it's a little bit like, holy smokes, what are these teachers doing? We're using actual research, and we're trying to create something better for the kids. And I know it's different than what you're used to, but it's not just done haphazardly. It's done with thoughtful intent.
Right.
And that's what you were doing. You were doing something with thoughtful intent, trying to get those librarians to get in their hands on using this tool, because they were going to have to answer those questions when the kids did this, right? Mm-hmm. So them going through that gave them the advantage of knowing what to do when they face some of those problems. And that's hard.
It's tough. So anyway, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot to share with people, but at the same time, it gets tougher and tougher. It's like, I feel like I have a hard enough time sharring with the teachers in my district that pays me my salary.
Yeah, your whole job is
sharing. That's my first obligation.
Yeah, right? Your whole job.
Yeah, maybe that's it too. Yeah, maybe I just get tired of it, and on the weekends I don't really want to do it. But the Friday thing where we did the hands-on, you can work with whatever you want to work with, that was fun.
It's like the kind Seinfeld episode where he dates the masseuse.
Yes, right.
And he keeps trying. I mean, that's you. Like, if you're
that's me. I'm the masseuse. Yeah,
like
I don't want.
They're trying to get you to present more, and you're just like, no, I'm not really down with that.
Done it. I know. Well, we did submit one. I think we submitted one to ISTE. We did submit one to ISTE, so we'll see. And I actually authored it, so I submitted one to ISTE.
Maybe I'll see you there. I'm on a couple for ISTE, so
we'll see. Yeah,
let's hope we meet in Chicago, John.
You know what? When we I'll be sure going to Chicago regardless. And I know that when people will get accepted in like the beginning of December, everybody will share out, oh my God, just got accepted to do a Flipgrid session at ISTE. # Flipgrid ambassador.
Yeah, you're gonna, your prediction right now, John, in October.
How many Flipgrid sessions? 25 sessions on Flipgrid.
Five
and then
a
another,
day,
another
seven a
right,
day.
And then another. Everybody else will use it for feedback, for questioning, to be interactive during their presentation. So that's another 1,000. 1,050 Flipgrid sessions.
Oh my gosh, that will be epic. Congratulations, Flipgrid. You've done it.
Congratulations, Flipgrid. I don't know what your guys did with the marketing, but I don't know. I mean,
well, there's
I feel
tools
bad.
That do that, right? I mean, it's not like Flipgrid was the first to the market.
But you know what? It makes you kind of feel like you're on the Brady Bunch. I feel like that's what people want.
That's true. And now,
oh my gosh, maybe we
got like Snapchatty features, you know, with like, so
wait a second. Why don't we, that's our thing, Scott. Why don't we do that? Well, we're going to do Brady Bunch Flipgrid or something like that. Well, let's hack something. Brady Bunch feedback.
Okay.
There we go. That's, let's write the book.
I just bought the URL.
Speaking on it next year. Brady Bunch flipgridfever.com.
That sounds like Briggs is involved with that. He's good at those Brady Bunch kind of pictures.
I feel actually horrible that I'm not a Flipgrid ambassador.
Really, John?
I feel terrible because everybody else is. Are you a Flipgrid ambassador?
I was for several years.
You were on Flipgrid
4 years
ago.
Yeah. Mine is, my Flipgrid ambassadorship is to Texas, though. So I'm going to be moving there to be a Flipgrid ambassador.
Okay. Well, you got stiff competition because there's tons of Flipgrid ambassadors in Texas.
What? They're not supposed to be ambassadors in their own state, though. You got to be ambassadors to another state. That makes no sense.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand.
Okay. I'm going to be the
ambassador. You're just using the word ambassador, and I'm angry, John.
That's right. I'm going to be Flipgrid ambassador to North Dakota.
Okay, good.
Just because it won't take much effort.
Are there schools in North Dakota?
There's only like 7 people. Okay. No, I don't think so.
Oh, we're sorry, North Dakota.
So that's good. Anyway. Yeah, North Dakota, we apologize to the 17 of you.
And Wyoming. John still does not like you, Wyoming.
And Wyoming.
Hey, do you know Wyoming, where Tim was? Tim was traveling, John.
Really? Tim Bedley?
Yeah. Yeah. He was out in...
Or Tim Lauer.
Tim Bedley. He was out in New York. I guess.
Really?
I guess the whole Sprouts fitness craze is like sweeping upstate New York. And they're like, we need to bring in Tim Bedley to train us on how to process the. Now he's shifted from full size Sprouts to like just new Sprouts only. Like within the first week, they have to be sprouted a week or less. Otherwise, the nutrients really isn't as fresh. So he's only going with those kind of like.
Do you show him how to cultivate the pine needles too for the bed?
Yeah, you know what? He did that last summer. And pine needle tea.
Oh, it's a two-parter.
Pine needle tea, and he got invited back to do sprouts this year. So
kale is next summer.
No, Tim is he's legit. He was training teachers out there on all kinds of things. Education
York,
related.
Huh?
Education related, yeah.
That's cool. And no, not sprout related.
I got to go hang out with his son.
You were just kidding. Oh.
Yeah, I got to go.
I believed you.
Hang out with Taylor today.
Ooh, Taylor, grouchy old teacher's number one fan.
Yeah, too.
He even likes grumpy old teachers too.
Grumpy, grouchy, you know.
All right. So speaking of grouchy, I love, you know what, I Instagram is making me angry all the time because Facebook bought it. But the one feature that I do like is the little live streams that you can click above. And I was surprised to see you there today. So I want you to go in more in depth because I kind of was like fast forwarding real quick. And then I was like, whoa, Scott's on the live stream on Instagram Live. So I want you to describe that one because you can, if I can get this podcast up in the next 12 hours, you might be able to catch it just before it vanishes into thin air forever. Right.
Yeah, right. You probably have about 12 hours.
12 hours. Okay.
No, I'm hanging out with, I go to hang out with Taylor today, who is my nephew. Right. So I get there.
And grumpy old teacher's number one fan.
Yeah. He's
established
amazing, man. 6'6". He probably weighs
just like Michael Jordan.
Like two, he's like LeBron James size. Kids just, you know, freshman in high school. Why do I
say he's Michael Jordan's height and then you have to go to LeBron James? Why do you have to always one up me, Scott? You're always one upping me. Will you please stop?
I'm from Cleveland.
Thank you.
That's why. Yeah,
right. Okay, so go on. So I didn't get that he was that tall in the live stream because he was sitting down.
Right, of course. So I get there and, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, we'll go out and grab some breakfast. I don't know. We'll do something fun, right?
Right. You're going to do something uncle-ish. Totally.
Yeah, uncle. Like, okay. You know, who knows what we'll do.
The fun uncle.
Who knows where the day will lead us? Maybe a little Bed Bath Beyond. Maybe a little.
get some foaming bath, you know, beads. Those are nice. I've heard.
So he's like, you know, I gotta, I'm going to finish some homework first. I'm like, okay. You know, I got enough work. So I sat down and like made that website that, you know, I talked about earlier, and he shows me the homework, John. And I'm like, I'm like, Ted, can I, I'm going to live stream this on Instagram. He's like, all right. So his high school teachers got to change. They've got to change, John.
High school teachers have got to change.
His high school teacher assigned him to like some chapter of some randomness, right?
It looked horrible, yeah.
There was like 40 plus questions. I don't even know how many questions were in this chapter. Mm. You know, like the mm-hmm. regular questions, the critical thinking, all the questions. You know, mm-hmm. I think this was like advanced bio or something like that. So he's doing these questions, and I'm like, tell me about this. And he says, oh, my teacher makes us copy the questions and mm-hmm. then write the answers. And I was mm-hmm. like, I'm like, so can you like literally copy them on a copier? He's like, no, I have to hand write them mm-hmm. all the questions and then write the answers with them. And I was like dumbfounded. I'm like, this is such a waste of this kid's time to rewrite the questions. Like, what is a teacher can't look in the book or so? I don't even get it. Like, what's the point of that? So he had to rewrite every single one of these questions. And then write his answer. And I was like, this is the problem with homework, John. That kind of mm-hmm. stupid stuff. And then he was telling me about a math teacher he has that makes him, when he's doing like graphing, mm-hmm. he can't just have a pre-made graph that he prints up to do like graphing points or whatever he's doing on it for math. He has to hand draw every single graph for every single problem. So if he's got like 25 graphing problems, he has to hand create 25 separate graphs, coordinates planes, like to like put his like work on. He can't just like copy one of them or print them up or whatever and then put his work on it. He's got to hand create every single one of those things. And it was like,
I'm surprised Tim's not saying something.
I don't know. I think it was just like, and then he was telling me about his high school. And I was shocked. So he was saying like he was a lot of the kids, they finally got to borrow like a Chromebook card and they're like, oh my gosh, did you know you can like share a document and work together? Oh, and all these painful. Kids were so excited about this.
Oh, so
at
painful.
The high school level.
Oh, like, that breaks my heart.
No, dude, is this really?
Oh my gosh, if a third grader doesn't know that in our district, I get mad.
Right, right, right. Oh. And I'm saying my students are doing this every single day. Like, and you have a ton of kids in your district, and their district's like a pretty solid. Like, that's a pretty solid district. And yet, at his high school,
you can't call him.
What's that?
You can't call out the name of the district.
Well, it's Murrieta. It's Murrieta district, okay. Yeah, and yeah, I don't mind calling him out at all. Like, I have no links.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just insane to me to think that you've got that many kids. And he said he's basically like, almost all of his class was just like, oh my gosh, you can actually work on this same document at the same time. It's like, what is going on? Like, is this widespread, or is this like, and for me, I was like, Murrieta's doesn't have that figured out yet. Like, what, huh?
I feel like there's a point that we're getting at a little bit where, and I'm really not trying to be like snooty or snotty But I feel like there's some I felt like that this week a lot. There's some common sense things that I feel like are common sense to me, but they're not as much common sense to other people that are out there in the profession teaching. And I'm like, why? I mean, I would just think that, I mean, not even just like common sense, like professional teaching, like I went to school and got a degree wise, but just like you've been on this planet for 30 some odd years wise. Well, what's up with that? I don't understand it. So I'm trying to be more understanding, and I do that in this job. But boy, I mean, I could see why teachers used to not like me my first year when I had this job, because I'd be like, oh, you could do this, but then you can also, and I'd go 40 steps beyond what they were even able to comprehend, right? And then I was like, I mean, not that it was earth-shaking or anything, but, you know, and then they'd be like, well, you'd lose them. So I've learned to just meet people where they are and try and move them from there, just like you would do with a student. But I feel like some people aren't doing that with students. And you know, the one thing, and I won't mention Gorgeous George Kuros until you ask me to, but I will say this.
Could you talk about Gorgeous George? American, but full-time Canadian?
Yeah, I don't even, he wants to be American so bad. But a week ago, I was George Kuros's valet for our district real quick. And the
Did you carry his bag, John?
I mean, he trucked it over to me, right? And he was just like, here's my bag. And I kind of looked at him. I said, is there going to be a tip involved somewhere here? And I think he was really expecting me to go with his bags there for a second. I was like, George, come on now. I know that other people like follow, like we have the video still that we can release of people just, oh my gosh, just the ladies in the audience at Q karaoke that one day, right? When he sang the swooning hearts, right?
Or whatever. Quite a few people, not ladies and gentlemen.
He's that gorgeous, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, it was just funny. But the one thing that he said that, it's kind of stuck with me a little bit was just, he said, you know, when he's talking about change to our administrators, he says, you know, students go from second to third grade every year, and we expect that. A teacher moves from second to third grade and they freak out, like a lot of times, right? And he's like, why is that different? A teacher can't move from second to third grade, an adult can't do it, but we expect all of our students to do it flawlessly. Right? And I thought, you know, and he does little truth bombs like that where you're just like, but it's true. And I don't know why people, some stuff that it should seem, I think should be common sense to some people, it really isn't. And I wonder if we get all wrapped up in our own little worlds and things like that, that we just get so wrapped up in the drama of everything in our own building that we don't just see the big picture. Like, people need to see the big picture, kind of focus in and go, okay, why am I making Taylor Bedley copy a bunch of questions? Why am I not just teaching him to answer the question and kind of within the question he's answering, kind of state it so it's obvious what the question was.
Exactly.
Here, I can do this with a little proof or whatever. And then I think that's okay. We're not even letting him type it. You know, we're not even letting him do it on a Google Doc or turn it in or anything. We're not using any kind of flow. We're not using Google Classroom. We're not using a learning management system. All these things, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, come on, Marietta. Let's get going a little bit here. If your kids don't know that you can collaborate on Google Docs, yikes. That's right. In high school, that's scary. If that happened in Beaverton, I would be severely depressed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably happens in spaces, but that there was enough kids, you know, I mean, I think that's a big conversation we're having now, is there's probably more device equity than there's been, but there's not actual equity and instruction that's happening and usage of the device. And so how do we move towards that in a different way?
Right.
And,
I don't know. Well, it's like when we were talking with Ruben Hoffman, Scott and I, we're the president and vice president of the Ruben Hoffman fan club.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But when Ruben was saying, well, he's teaching teachers, and then they're they're just using the digital way to do this, teach the same old way, or just to save them time. Or it's like, here, I'm going to give a multiple choice test, and here, now I can take my phone and I can grade all these tests within, because I don't even have to use like the Scantron anymore. I can do that. Whatever that guy who invented it back east, I remember he was doing like this, you know, the scanning tests or whatever. He's like, am I really helping if I just have them digitize the same old way of doing things? Why aren't we having students create? And then that's what, I mean, that's why we,
I mean, John, I saw some people trumpeting and triumphing their support of Chromebooks from way back on Twitter.
Right.
People I love, I respect, but I also feel like there's a little bit of what we've talked about is that as easy as Chromebooks are to manage and to get out because they're cheap, it allows teachers who only want to word process or do digitization of their worksheets. Now it's a form. Like, we're going to, I'm super afraid we're going to overform these kids with like a bazillion Google Forms. Like, I already feel like it's happening. And like, I just worry that without a good mix of devices, including iPads and Chromebooks, we start to move away from that creative aspect. We start to move away and we move back into just that word processing world, despite, you know, the number of people that are saying, don't do that.
Right. Something you have to be very conscious of, right? I mean, it's, I don't know. I want, what I was going to say is the thing that I've seen, and I would encourage everybody, besides signing up for Global School Play Day, which is now starting to come around here. And you know what? Global School Play Day, I'm going to have to get on that, because I've been letting you down, because I was going to help you promote it this year, and then I haven't been doing it. But
John's already over 70,000 signed up.
That's good. I did when I did the webinar for EdWeb, I did put the link on my list of links. Like, people appreciate that I did a listly and I put it on there. Awesome. And I talked about play. That was one of my big topics, actually, but I totally in the moment choked and didn't mention Global School Play Day. I was like, oh, I missed it. But if they give me a chance in December again, I'll definitely go back to it. But right now, Mitch Resnick just opened up from MIT Media Lab, and Mitch Resnick is one of the founders of Scratch, and like Lifelong Kindergarten is his book just now. And so in his book, you should get him on the Bedley Brothers is what you should do, Scott.
Yeah.
You should get him on the Bedley Brothers. I could.
Cool guest coming up too on the
Bedley Brothers. Okay. So we need to get scheduling it, right? When you can schedule it. But, this last Wednesday, they just opened up the course for learning creative learning. And that's learning how to have creative learners. I mean, that's the whole thing. And so the first week's kind of like, everybody's like, oh, I don't have time for that, whatever. And we were even talking to Ruben. Ruben's like, I don't have time for anything. The first week's really kind of simple. It'll be interesting to see how it goes from there. And it's all open. It's like you could download every video and like put it up somewhere else. You have different languages for it. And I just think they're like his whole thing for his, I'm reading his book, Lifelong Kindergarten, right now. I'm actually reading it, Scott. And then the thing is, that's the whole thing with him. Kindergarten should be a time to explore and play. And he's like, everything now, all the testing and stuff is seeping into kindergarten, and kindergarten seeming more like school, when he says the exact opposite should be happening. It should be starting to open up, and every grade shouldn't be worksheets and all this stuff. It should be exploration of what students want to learn and letting them explore creativity within certain, learning how to set the parameters so that you can actually have it. So it's not just like some free for all, because that's what teachers are scared of, right? They're scared of control. They'll lose it. It'll be a free for all. But if you can structure it the right way, like a Scott Bedley does every day, then you can have stuff, right? Like when you do do you still do your untinkering lab where you take stuff apart?
Yeah, we do unmakers. Yeah, I've got, I love that stuff, man. I love the chance for kids to actually just do the hands-on and Just experience a place where curiosity can be fostered versus a place where we're giving out answers.
And, I mean, right, but you have to, there's work you have to do, right? Like, you have to set that up and go, okay,
totally.
This is, you have to kind of give them like a challenge or something, right? Because, or they have to, if they could come up with their own challenge, that's all the better. So here's this cable remote control. We're going to take it apart. We're going to try and put it, you know, put it back together. What does this part do? But you have to do some work on that to set them up.
Absolutely. I mean, sure, it takes a lot of intentionality in leading up to projects like that. And just having kids understand how to ask questions is a big part of it, because it's almost weeded out of them by adults that don't want to have to deal with answering kids' questions, because they have so many, it seems like, when really we should just be saying, gosh, ask more questions. We should all be asking more questions.
Right. We should too. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. As adults.
I know. It's so, anyway, that's on there. So I think if you just search learning, creative learning, it's on there. And maybe I'll even like write a little blog post about it or something and put the link out there or something.
Hey, John, cause that's how strong. This is the time of the show where I think we should give shout outs to people.
Okay, go ahead.
And I think I would really like to give a shout out to one of your most favorite people.
Uh-oh.
That has just celebrating 15 years. 15 years of his URL of the original time that he grabbed.
Oh, I did see that one.
And I am so, like, I'm so thankful that he took the risks that he has in his career, because it's impacted so many people. But John, give a shout out to that person that, you know, is celebrating 15 years. A lot of us are like, yeah, I've been doing this for, you know, a couple of years.
Right.
15 years.
Well, I mean, 15 year, I had to think about that for a second. I'm like, gosh, he was buying URLs. Like, we're new school URL buyers compared to this guy, right?
Right.
So anyway, so I did, and you know what? It's sad because I forgot Global School Play Day in my webinar, but I did remember to give a shout out to Tony Vincent and learninginhand.com that he bought 15 years ago. Learning in Hand, when it was Palm Pilots, when it was literally learning about Palm Pilots. And that's how Tony Vincent started. I mean, when I started my whole iPad Sammy thing that I'll never escape, I mean, I was working with iPod touches before the iPads were invented. So, I mean, that was like, I remember going and seeing Tony Vincent at in Washington, D.C. at the NC, whatever it was called back then. It wasn't even called ISTE, but it was basically ISTE. And, It was good. Tony talked to me a little bit, and that was like the first time he was such an engaging presenter that I actually went up after and tried to talk to him a little bit and engage him. And, you know, I was just thinking about Twitter stuff, because George Kuros came in, and when he came in and talked to our administrators, he came in, like kind of hit them with the truth bombs. But when you think about it, he's talking about Twitter, you know, and things like that. And I will say that for George Kuros, he was another one of the first people that I interacted with on Twitter when he was actually doing like principal work. I mean, he still had his building back then, you know, back in like 2010, 2011, but he was doing the innovation fair, I think, where he'd do the week long thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of his stuff, and then I would ask him about that. And then I kind of took it, and I didn't bring it like building wide to my school, but I did bring it to my classroom. And we did it that way because it was easier. It's just easier for me. I could get it done right away, you know? And so George Kuros, a person, I don't know if he I'm sure with all the thousands and thousands of followers that he has now, he probably doesn't interact as much as he can unless you're in his MOOC. Right. But, he was talking about that a little bit too. He's just like, it was interesting to have like, go pick up George Kuros from the airport and have him in the car with you for 30 minutes. And if you're interested, we can, I can share not only the video from Q, but I do have a video of George Kuros. I had to take him to Target. If you thought I was lying about being his personal valet, I actually picked him up from the airport, took him to the airport, and then I also took him to Target because he needed to buy toothpaste and deodorant. Because he stunk. He was really stinky.
Don't, John, his 193,000 followers are going to be upset that you would say something like that publicly.
I know. And he was very quick to throw the 193,000 followers out there too. You know, we always make fun
I
of people.
I think it's pathetic that he doesn't have 200K.
I know.
And singing ability.
He was, yeah, especially for that. We'll round up for him. We'll round up for George. He needs to get to 200,000. Does he have a blue
we'll
check
say
mark by his name?
7,000 shared accounts on there, is that what we're saying?
That's right. So anyway, but George was very interesting. But if you do want to see a 20-second video of what deodorant George Kuros buys, maybe I'll throw it up on YouTube and see if it can get more hits than my song at the Shins concert from a couple weeks back. Because that's only like 7 or 8.
Hey, John, I want to give a quick shout out to somebody, and I hope people will look her up on just anywhere they can find her. But she, you know, recently, John, and I'm getting kind of serious right here intentionally, but
recently, yeah, I know where
you're going. Some really intense fires up in Northern California, and a great teacher just who has some amazing ideas, Catlin Tucker, lost her home, like burnt to the ground, man. Like there was like steps of burnt out tree and like a, you know, a couple of bricks left.
Chimney. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh. And they set up a GoFundMe for her and her family. And, you know, I hope that all of us as teachers recognize, you know, I know people out there listening probably know people that were affected in Houston, people that are affected, you know, across the United States and around the world, that we can somehow help out and help each other and support each other through these kind of like difficulties. But, you know, if you have the heart for it, to go find Catlin Tucker's GoFundMe and give a little bit for her family to be able to rebuild would be an awesome thing. So,
yeah. I know it sounded like we need to put out some links for this show. It sounds like we almost need an Adobe Spark page. You know, I'd love to make the Adobe Spark page with just some links to it.
I would take that.
So anyway, yeah, but yeah, I don't know Catlin.
She's fantastic.
I know of her, and I saw, like I said, did you go back and see Alice Keeler's blog post about it?
I didn't see her blog post about it, but okay. I do. We've had her on the Bedley Brothers probably 3 times now, and we always click with her and her ideas and her passion, and she's a family person. And she absolutely loves teaching, and she's the kind of person that, although, you know, she's publishing books, she is staying hardcore in the classroom. And you don't see that with everybody that's publishing books, right, John? I mean, sometimes
you
see
that with hardly anybody publishing books, to be honest. I can think of the person that I think that seems like they're still working and publishing books is that I met at ISTE this year is Colleen Graves.
Okay.
And she does a lot of the makers, makey makerspace things. And in fact, I've got her book right down here on the floor with me, the 20 projects for the makey evil genius.
And then, you know, the other people I wanted to give a shout out to, I don't think they'll listen to the show ever, but it's somebody made a big announcement today, John.
Oh, okay. Who? Maybe I missed this.
Like a big baby announcement today.
Oh, a big baby announcement. Not Glenn Davis, the basketball player, because he is a big baby. Okay. You got that reference.
Holy cow, and it's not a Wu-Tang reference either.
I want to see the movie. By the way, just out of curiosity, I do want to see the movie Baby Driver, by the way. I haven't seen that. And I do want to see about it. I do want to see. I have not seen Blade Runner. It's hard for me to gear up to go to a movie for 3 hours. You know, yeah, I want to see Blade Runner. The new Gosling, come on. Okay, so who's the baby announcement?
Well, they're your favorite / American Canadian couple ever, John.
Get out of here! I did not hear that.
Yeah, really? They posted today on social media, probably about 2 hours ago. 3 hours ago,
goodness.
Now they posted 3 glasses, John. One with the beer, wow, because one of them really likes beer. One that's a beer glass, but it has orange juice, and one little tiny glass that has milk in it.
Cute.
Yeah, it was.
God, I'm surprised I haven't seen it on social media, because it's all they'll do is overshare the snot out of that. That'll be great for them. That'll be great. So we're talking about Carl Lindgren Stryker and Victoria Olsen. I miss those guys.
I'm so happy for them. Yeah.
Well, Carl, you know what? Carl almost had – that was almost a – probably a calculated move because, really, he's an American up in Canada right now, and they're not going to leave him there if he doesn't start, like, at least having Canadian children, right? So – there you go.
Now they can't.
I wonder if Carl would ever come on one of the shows and talk about his AP, how his AP stuff is going compared to, he was just such a passionate history teacher. You know, I wonder how he's liking the administrative duties.
I'm sure he's bringing that same kind of passion with him to trying to impact a school site and that role.
That's gotta be tough because he's not even like, you know, he's been teaching down in California. Now he comes up to Canada and now he does his administrative and now he's kind of like, you know, I'm sure there's
both have a C and an A in it.
Right. But I mean, I'm sure that it's gotta be tough. Like you're trying to kind of learn the ways of Canada and their educational system, but now you're also an administrator and you haven't taught in Canada.
John, I'm kind of emotional that I got to break that news to you. That's
I really hadn't heard that. That I know. I'm almost getting misty right here. I'm so happy for those guys. I really am.
Yeah,
absolutely. Those are right. Those are some good shout outs then. I mean, I'm sorry for Catelyn Tucker's shout out. We'll try and tweet if we don't put out a little page, we'll try and tweet the link to her GoFundMe between the both of us and maybe you can help her out. I don't know her, but just based on what you said, I've always got 20 bucks for someone, right?
Yeah, she's good people for sure.
I mean, heck, if I can waste 20 bucks on a little Ozobot thing right here, then I can help somebody out. Hey, I mean, come on now, really, look at this. I mean, I paid $180 for this, right? My little R2-D2 Sphero. Come on now.
Speaking of Sphero, John, I like those Sphero minis.
You like those?
Yeah, I would like to have about 100 of them.
Okay, well, that'll be $4,999.99. If you buy
half as much as the big Spheros would cost,
right? If you buy it in Oregon, you can not pay sales tax.
What? I love Oregon, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you should think about me. Maybe you should think about moving up here at some point.
I would like to. If I got a job offer up in Oregon, John.
I know. I don't know anybody that could get you a job offer or like an interview or like have a job waiting for you like you asked for, but we'll see. But yeah, so how do you talk about the Sphero minis a little bit then? I know that Brian Briggs and I will be doing we've set a date, so we're going to start doing the Steam Teacher podcast or whatever we're calling it.
I'm a big Sphero fan. I know people like a lot of different kind of robots.
I like Sphero too.
But yeah. I like the versatility of a Sphero, and I know that all the robots have their, you know, whatever you want to say, advantages to them. But for me, Sphero, I've just been using them for a while. I've been using them for a while, and I really like the updated Sphero EDU app a lot with the different.
Yes, I do like that a lot too.
It's just good.
It's so much easier to connect.
Oh my gosh.
So much easier to connect, right?
Connection was always the pain with the Sphero. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get the hang of it, right? But now with whatever they've done with that app, just to like link up so easily, it's like, oh my gosh. And I don't know how the other robots are. I don't have the other kind of robots that are out there, but I do know that I'm really super stoked on that new Sphero app. I think it's just it's a game changer.
It's a game changer, right? We'll talk to George Kuros about game changers. Yeah. I love when he gives his game changer. So what's the coding part of the Sphero Mini that I thought you couldn't and then I saw something. So is it more of an advanced coding? Are you using
I think you can. I don't have a Sphero Mini yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I have a donor's choose if anyone wants to help me out. I don't have it yet. I have the EDU version, like the clear version of the Spheros. And I'm just I'm thankful to have those.
I'll tell you what's great with the Spheros. My favorite thing that we bought recently, and it's not cheap, but it's the big blue case that charges.
Oh, nice.
Gosh, that thing. You have to realize that. Oh, it's awesome. We used that over the summer. It was great for a little sphere miniature golf. Yeah, that was one of the things I talked about in the webinar. I talked about that one. I'm still waiting for, did you see the other day, did it come through on Facebook, Scott, that I liked TEDx Bratislava?
No, but thank you, John. They're releasing, I'm waiting. Have five of the TED Talks of actually the ones that I was there for released. Oh, I don't know when mine's going to come out, but we'll see. We'll see if it ever does.
If we haven't talked about this because Scott won't let us, now he has to come out of his little shell for this one. Scott went to Slovakia over the summer right after ISTE, and he gave his TED talk, his TEDx talk, Bratislava. And all I've been doing, and I tried to watch the live stream, but
which there's is the capital such a, city of Slovakia, if people don't
which know. Is the, right, for those people you that don't know, the how could you not know the capital of Slovakia is Bratislava? I don't know. But they, and really, Bratislava's claim to fame, they named the Bratwurst there, right? Isn't that his historical? So but people in Milwaukee, you can thank Bratislava for that. But anyway, it was just, they said they were going to release it in September. I was watching it at like 3 a.m. and I think I had just kind of like, it didn't translate well. By the time I saw Scott's, like Scott was going to be like 5 a.m. And I was like, if I would have known that, I just would have gone to bed early and gotten up. Right. So then Scott's going to have his TEDx talk up soon. It'll be fun. But yes, he went to Slovakia.
Yeah, I'll join the crowd.
Did he bring his family?
The crowd with TEDx.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he actually just went over to Slovakia and came right back, basically. Like, how long was your trip? It was like 4 days.
4 days.
How long were you there?
Of the 4 days, like, it was like 2 13-hour flights in there, too. Direct flights.
I know. Was it literally 4 days that you were gone, or was it, it wasn't more, it wasn't a week, right?
It was five days, four nights. I got into town, and we basically practiced, and then they changed everything on me and told me I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And so I had to change everything. Didn't like my practice session, John. I couldn't even practice because they didn't have my right slide. And it was just like I never got a single practice. Everybody else got a bunch of practice. I got zero practice. So I'm just hoping that I don't like completely make a fool out of myself in that thing.
Okay, I'm sure you didn't make a fool out of yourself. But Scott's biggest concern is he just wants to look good.
Yeah, I don't care what I said.
Yeah, he doesn't care what he says. He just wants to look good. But I've told him that the camera does add 20 pounds, so just be ready for it. Like right now, looking at myself. Yeah. So we'll have to look forward to that. We'll look forward to Scott's TED Talk when it comes out, and then maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more. Like, if you listen to other grumpy teachers, he's like the other two that we've done in between them, since we've only did two of them. He's like, shh, you know, he's like trying to get me to like move past it.
Well, but I've been waiting.
It's cool. It's cool.
Kind of like irritated.
Yeah. Now he's done waiting. But see, this is what you get. If you're a finalist for California Teacher of the Year, you too could have a TEDx talk.
You too.
Just remember that. You too. Hey, speaking of you too. And that we weren't even speaking about you two, but I know Ruben Hoffman went to their concert. But I got a funny list thing the other day. You know how we love the list of top people for Twitter, right? I am which, so not.
John, you are always on.
Right, which so I'm on this one. It's so funny. So the people from my town tutors love me for some reason. I have no idea what I think I've talked to them on DMs before.
On Twitter.
That's right. I know. I'm looking at myself. I'm like, boy, I need to get that little part right there. But I got a little strand of hair coming up towards my eye right here. But
welcome to your 40s.
It was top 180 Twitter accounts in 2017.
Wow.
Okay. So they only put down like the first 20, but I was like number 18. And I'm like, oh my God, I am right. And I was just like, you know, and then it's like I forget what they use on there though. It's like Edutopia number one, right? Well, and then number two is like the head of the teachers union.
Okay.
You know, I don't even know what his name is, but like something. And you're just looking through this. But you know what I thought made the list totally legit, and this brings it all the way back full circle to the teacher of the year was Janine Letford was number 20.
Oh man.
So then I was like, okay, so if I'm on a list with Janine Letford, I don't even care if lists are stupid.
Yeah.
I'm just honored to be on a list with Janine Ledford.
Love her.
Seriously.
Love her. Yeah, she's an amazing person. Yep. Top to bottom, amazing person. Just like legit from the heart out. She's fantastic.
You got to love a person that's actually been on the Bedley Brothers and Techlandia, the old Techlandia, because really nobody slums down to Techlandia. Even when it was good. Even when it was good back in the day.
Been on both. I don't think he remembers being on the Bedley Brothers, but he's been on both.
you were poo-pooing me on Voxer, but I'm telling you, Kuro specifically asked, because I brought you up, but after I brought you up, he's like, the Bedley Brothers, he's like, they're still going. You know, he asked about Techlandia, but he also asked about the Bedley
Brothers. They're still podcasting?
Yeah. No, he didn't say it like that, though. He said, you're not podcasting. Kind of stuff. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, when did Austin Kleon just get into my car? Get out of here, Kuros. Don't tell me to create stuff. I'll go to Austin Kleon if I want that advice. Thank you very much.
You're in my town.
I'm trying to raise four kids. Emerald
City,
here,
dude. Right? Who do you think?
You're in the Emerald City. Getting in at 9 o'clock at night. I got to drive down 45 minutes to pick out and pick up my dad last time he came here. And then his wallet got stolen on the MAX train. True story, by the way. True story.
Stolen? It actually got stolen?
Yeah. Well, so what happened is we have on our MAX, which is great. I love riding the MAX.
Right.
On the MAX, we have so many protests in Portland. Now, this sounds like a Portlandia skit, but it really is happens in Portlandia.
Well, that's why it's on the trains.
Last time we were going to MindCon, and this is like, you know, September of last year, Gwen and I were kind of cutting it close, and the train stops because there's protesting going on. This was the Trump protesting. So I don't know what they were protesting. But in August, we're still protesting everything about everything. So they had to stop the train. And so my dad had to get off the train for like 3 minutes. And he said he remembers now that he thinks some guy bumped him and picked his wallet real quick.
Oh, that sucks.
And so then I was like, great. And so then, so that is now the second trip in a row. My mom was I was in Las Vegas with her, and we went and met in Las Vegas, and she also got her wallet picked at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Wow.
So that was now. So here I am thinking of
like Italy.
Right. So here I am thinking, oh, great. Look, it's a few days before payday. My dad owes me some. He did owe me some money. I'm like, good. He'll pay me back. So he got all of his $700 ripped off of him. My mom, I had to bankroll her the whole time in Vegas. I'm like, this is great. I'm glad I was winning money in Vegas.
Well, John, but anyway, I think we've hit our time limit. We're going to have to do another show soon.
Yeah, we should try and keep – well, you know what we should do is we should just try and keep it biweekly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For our new Steam podcast with Briggs, I said, okay, Briggs, I'm done with you. I'm done with all your little excuses. I know that your boy went off to college. I know all this stuff. I'm busy too. 8 o'clock on Monday nights. Lock it in. We're going. So now we are.
Be there or be square.
Be there or be square. You got to just lock these people in. Kurt and Allison wanted to do a Techlandia, but then that's all I heard. Oh, I want to do a Techlandia.
Wow, do it.
They were even talking about doing like more than one show, I think, too.
Wow. I want to see that. John, bring it back.
I know. Well, we should bring it back just for little Lindgren Striker.
Yes.
Baby for baby Lindgren Striker. Oh my gosh, there's gonna be so many.
I heard they're gonna name him Charles John Lindgren Striker.
I heard they're gonna name him Baby LS_Carl. So anyway, well, thanks for listening, people.
Thank you.
I know we didn't do it. We weren't doing any bits tonight. We were being. I told you I wasn't. I'm not very grumpy right now. I feel like we're doing. I'm trying. I'm trying, Scott Bedley. I'm trying. Don't worry. It's only October. I'll be grumpy by November and December for sure.
Especially February, John.
Oh my gosh, January, February, March, April, May. I'm so grumpy, I just can't say. That's a little Wyclef Jean for you right there. Nice. All right, well, Scott Bedley, thank you for coming on the show. As usual, you are a gentleman and a scholar, and we will catch you.
I tip my hat to you, John.
I tip my hat to you, too. I'll catch you on the flip side.